This record has been skillfully crafted by British comedians using ancient, well-worn, classical hand-tooled jokes. It has been specially designed to sit at the back of your record collection amongst the old Frank Sinatra albums, to be brought out and split up when you get divorced. Any complaints about the humorous quality of this album should be addressed to British Airways, Ingram's Drive, Redditch.
I saw her today at the reception. Glass of wine in her hand. I know she was going to meet her connection. At her feet was this tall, footloose man. You can't always get what you wanna. I say you can't always get what you wanted. You can't always get what you wanted. But if you try sometime, you might find you can get what you need. Let me tell you again, you can get what you need.
What you need. fiesta. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. This is In the Loop for March 8th, Wednesday, 6 till 7, Central Time. I'm glad that you're listening in whatever way you are listening. I thank you. You are listening, by the way, to freeradiosaic.org, where experimental radio from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago comes from. Woohoo! Yay! How's it going? Good? Okay. I always do that, and I have no idea why. It's just like conversational habit, I think. Well, what you had heard before, just to get this out of the way, you heard Ben Folds, In Between Days, off of Speed Graphic, Ben Lee, Gamble Everything for Love, MC Chris, Care Bear, Stevie Wonder, You Haven't Done Nothing, Monty Python, Announcement, Luther Allison, You Can't Always Get What You Want, very important lesson to learn, and this is some It's Not Unusual instrumental Muzak version in the background. I told you a few weeks ago that I, for some reason, am obsessed with elevator music, with really lame elevator music. I have no idea why, but it continues, as you can hear. Oh yeah. All right. Now, see, last week I did not get to celebrate Fat Tuesday. Yeah, I could have celebrated it on Wednesday when my show was. It was only the day after Fat Tuesday, but, you know, I was having a big discussion about Islam, and it's kind of hard to fit Fat Tuesday, you know, into a discussion about being Muslim in America and Islam and Muhammad and violence and cartoons and things like that. So, I therefore give you Zoftig Wednesday. That's right. Zoftig Wednesday. You know, it's warming up outside here in Chicago, and it's raining today. And so I just decided that this show is going to be a little vacation show. So I have a flower in my hair. If you were listening live, you would be able to see that. A little flower in my hair. I've got a little kind of tropical shirt on. I have a nice tasty drink, just lemonade, but it's in a SpongeBob. I'm showing it to the camera even though I'm the only one listening. It's in a SpongeBob container. It's called Health Flow, but it's got SpongeBob on it. It's yellow. It's basically a sippy cup. I'll show you. Or I'll do an audio or a radio play about it. So it's open now, and yep, that's what it sounds like. It's definitely a sippy cup. So yeah, you know, because I've just been feeling a little, you know, not in the mood to work kind of way, and so I decided that the weather and everything else, it just, I deserve, and we deserve, collectively, a vacation show. So we're going to have a little news, and then just settle back into some, going to have some chat and some nice cool tunes, get a drink, put on some board shorts, and get laid for this, a pre-spring break Zoftig Wednesday. Zoftig is another word for fat. Just to tell you about that. All right. All right, I'm going to turn this down. This, by the way, is Summer Samba by Walter Wonderly. Told you. It's... I don't know why. Elevator music by Winter Wanderly, Walter Wanderly. It's hard to say. All right. Now, there's been a lot of news, and I'm just kind of getting frustrated trying to understand everything. So what I have, I've got two little bits and some sound clips which go along with them. I'm just pissed, and my anger is so easily channeled into frustration and then just ambivalence about it. That we're just going to ride that, you know, nice fine line in between all of those tonight. Hence the vacation show. But, and we're also going to give you an update about they have made some arrests in Alabama for the string of church murder or church fires. It was like 10, I believe, or a few. Fires, 10th fire, I believe, in the area of churches, and half were predominantly black and half were predominantly white. So there's some action which has been going down today about that, which I find ridiculous. Once you hear it, you'll understand. But so let me start off with the international bit. In the past few weeks, Iran's profile regarding nuclear development has increased greatly, resulting in more talk and debate about what the UN and the US should do in response. Just kind of flashback to before the Iraqi war, and that's what's going on now. So fun! Iran is determined to begin nuclear research and enrich uranium inside its borders, as well as pursuing options outside of their borders with a proposed agreement with Russia. The country says that the program is solely for peaceful purposes, but the U.S. and other countries remain skeptical. The following is a clip from Hardball with Chris Matthews, featuring my hero, the Democratic representative from Pennsylvania, war hero, my hero, John Murtha.
Well, you say that we redirected our troop strength from Afghanistan, didn't catch bin Laden, moved into Iraq, or fighting a civil war, a middle of a civil war now, rather than fighting terrorism. But you also mentioned a second front. I think you're talking about a third front, really, the possibility of us going into Iran. Here is Vice President Cheney talking about Iran today.
The Iranian regime needs to know that if it stays on its present course, the international community is prepared to impose meaningful consequences.
Well, Mr. Murtha, I don't believe Vice President Cheney engages in bluffs, so what's he talking about?
Just one little interruption there. No, Cheney doesn't bluff, and nor does he fire warning shots. And also, Cheney has gone on to basically repeat what he said about Iraq, or what Condoleezza Rice said about Iraq, I believe, is that all options are on the table regarding them. Meaning, yes, the countdown to another war, to yet another war to drain the economy and morale and, I don't know, my generation of people and of members. Yeah, we can just kind of count down to that. It's going to begin very, very shortly, most likely. At least in my completely biased opinion. But back to John Murtha.
Well, it's unfortunate that we've heard so much rhetoric from the administration. We've heard this over and over and over again, and it does nothing but make it more difficult to solve the problem. This is an international problem in Iran. We have to use international communications, international diplomacy, and when you make statements like that, you make it very difficult to solve it diplomatically. For instance, right now, we couldn't deploy to Iran. Most people don't realize Iran is three times in geographical bigger than Iraq, and 58 million people versus 26 million. It's not possible. Our military is stretched so thin, there's no way we could deploy to a second front and then sustain that front. So it's ridiculous to make it talk like, well, we could take all the options off the floor. It could be a military option. There's no way we can do that. Now, our intelligence was so bad in Iraq that I don't believe we have better intelligence in Iran. And so if they're talking about using bombing strikes in Iran, you're going to have world support for that. The public is against us going into Iran. Therefore, getting out of Iraq, for heaven's sake. So, you know, the biggest thing, Chris, the biggest argument I have with this administration, they've been overly optimistic about what's happening in Iraq. They keep saying things are going well. The president said mission accomplished. Since he said mission accomplished, we've lost 2,000 people in Iraq. We have 20,000 casualties in Iraq. And they keep saying we don't need this many people. We're not going to redeploy. The Iraqis had their election. Let them take over. We've got to give them guidelines and a timeline to say, okay, folks, this is your government. You've got to fight for your democracy. If you want democracy, you've got to fight for it.
Well, let me talk to you about Iran because you know something about this military situation. I expect a lot. If we were to do a surgical strike on Iraq, or Iran, rather, and knocked out what we thought were their nuclear facilities and set them back a couple of years, what would be the danger to America in that kind of approach?
Well, in the first place, Chris, I don't think it's necessary to even think about that in the near term. They're not close to having nuclear capability. So what we need to do is stress diplomatic relations. We need to work with Russia. We need to work with these other countries. One of the problems we have is when we go off on our own, we get no support from anybody else. You remember in the 91 war, how President Bush not only got support from the international community, they paid for the war. They paid the $60 billion, and we're going to spend $450 billion in this war by the end of this year, money that could be spent much better someplace else. And that doesn't even take care of the upgrading the military. And the other thing that's happening, when the military gets stretched too thin like it is, the problem is that we can't scare anybody. In other words, when Cheney makes a threat like that, it falls on deaf ears because they know darn well we couldn't accept it. But the big thing is, as much money as we spend on intelligence, we don't know where the targets are. We don't know exactly what we need to do. So there's no use even talking about a military strike.
Again, that was Democratic Representative from Pennsylvania, John, my hero, Mirtha, on the Chris Matthews, or on a Hardball with Chris Matthews. I wish a hardball would hit that man in the balls, frankly. There's been some chatter on Huffington Post. Let me get to it. What did Matthews say recently? And of course, this is probably completely out of context, but yay, it's fun to say anyways. Chris Matthews, where are you? I can't find it. Anyways, I think he said something about that the guy in... Obviously, this is a very researched bit. That McCarthy was right. I only read the little front page thing about that, so I have no idea exactly what it means, but I just saw that on Huffington Post and went, is this like China that while I was growing up, I was kind of solid in the belief that China was bad, and then I grow up and then suddenly China's good. Or that trickle-down economics was bad and that tax cuts to the rich don't help the poor. And now suddenly they do, or they're supposed to. I don't know. It's turning every single one of my childhood beliefs on its ear. Completely turning them around and screwing me up. It's kind of like being disillusioned all over again. And I'm 26, so I've had plenty of disillusionment, plenty of disses, really. So for there to be more, you know, I'm to the point where I just expect it. Like, yes, you're going to let me down. Yes. Up is down. Okay. Black is white. Whatever. Sure. I obviously don't know crap. Meh. And that's a uncomfortable segue into the next piece. And this, frankly, to me, it's the beginning of the end. And if the women and the men, but especially the women of my generation and yours, don't do something, this is the beginning of the end for the pro-choice movement. It is so insanely close. All right. On Monday, the governor of South Dakota signed into law a bill that bans abortion statewide, except in cases where the mother's life is in danger. Also signed that day, a bill to create a state fund collecting donations for a legal defense fund, anticipating the anti-abortion bill's future court fight. Governor Mike Rounds, Republican governor, says that this bill acts as a test to see if the current Supreme Court will reconsider Roe versus Wade, an act made increasingly likely considering President Bush's two recent appointments to the court. Two lifelong appointments that barely anyone even raised an eyebrow about. Certainly didn't hear any of my classmates or my other 20-something brethren talk about in Chicago to me or anything. There wasn't any big, like, don't vote for this guy. Do not vote yes on his appointment. It's the beginning of the end. This is a clip from the South Dakota governor. South Dakota, which is incredibly boring, has Mount Rushmore, but yeah, it's flat. Sarah Vowell has a great piece about it, about how that's where Teddy Roosevelt went after his wife died, and how it was a great place to contemplate one's depression. And it's just flat, and you can look on and on and on into the distance, and there's nothing. It's like Wyoming. All right, this is the South Dakota Governor, Mike Rounds.
This is an opportunity to find out whether or not the Supreme Court would totally reverse itself on Roe versus Wade. The other part, the other aspect that sometimes gets lost in the discussion about the regulation or prohibition of abortion is the fact that we have to provide these individuals that are faced with that challenge in their life, we have to provide them with other alternatives. We have to provide them with assistance in dealing with this very sensitive issue in their life. We have to assure them that there is economic assistance, that there is support for them if they're challenged with keeping a child. We have to provide them with economic assistance. We have to provide them with that support network necessary.
All right, okay. I'm going to go back to that because there is a part. Oh. Not only, okay, yes. There's the bill that went through the legislative branch of South Dakota. And they have a very short session because there's not much to do in South Dakota. And I'm from Montana, so I can compare and contrast, and it's fair. But as he's talking about what the options are going to be for then these women or families who, I think he says, like, take on the job or take on the obligation or something about raising a child or having a child, then talks about how, therefore, we need to provide them support economically. And just basic economic support. And this is a Republican. A Republican in the party that calls welfare, Medicaid, Social Security, even entitlement programs. To make it sound like it's a bunch of rich, bitch, hoity-toity trust fund kids who are entitled to their daddy's money, which is completely ridiculous. So it's contradicting his own party, and it's... So let's play that
This
again.
Is an opportunity to find out whether or not the Supreme Court would totally reverse itself on Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, it's just a trial. It's just, oh, you know, we're just testing things out. It's like a science experiment, really, that will affect millions and millions of women and also the sale of coat hangers.
The other part, the other aspect that sometimes gets lost in the discussion about the regulation or prohibition of abortion is the fact that we have to provide these individuals that are faced with that challenge in their life, we have to provide them with with other alternatives. We have to provide them with assistance in dealing with this very sensitive issue in their life. We have to assure them that there is economic assistance.
It's a very sensitive issue in their life. That sounds incredibly personal. It's not a baby. If you're going to be pro-life and show pictures of dead fetuses with ice cream cones in their non-existent hands, then be consistent.
That there is support for them if they're challenged with keeping a child.
If they're challenged.
We have to provide them with economic assistance. We have to provide them
economic?
With that support.
That support.
Necessary.
That support necessary. Yeah, because that's really going to happen when they're talking, you know, when Bush is still kind of in his back pocket. He's got the whole privatizing Social Security thing. It's like, oh, I still want to do this, but you guys don't want me to. So, but it still should be done. And welfare and Medicare and Medicaid and when everything, when all of those entitlement programs are just going so swimmingly, face, you know, with all of the Republicans' tax cuts and program cuts, including basic student loans, which completely affects me and probably most of you listening. No, but we, you know, we're just going to ban abortion and then we're going to provide them with opportunities. Oh, we? No, I meant you. You're going to provide them with opportunities. The private sector, because the private sector can do everything. And so can churches. Churches and private sector. Capitalism and religion. You never thought that they went together, but apparently they do. This bill is one of many across-the-board abortion bans working their way through legislatures across the country. South Dakota's, though, is the first. It's probably the first thing that they're first in. Now, okay, Pat Robertson speaks about this, and I have a clip from the 700 Club. And, okay, I've kind of studied Pat Robertson. I don't know if you call it studying, but whatever. I've watched the 700 Club more than I'd like to admit. And, you know, I kind of know what he's about. So this next clip shocked me. I'm just going to play it and then you can guess what I'm shocked about.
Haley Barbour's going to sign one in Mississippi that'll be comparable to South Dakota. And the whole idea is to get a couple of the circuits ruling on this matter. Of course, if you could have a conflict in the circuits, it guarantees going to the Supreme Court. But it does seem that with the current makeup of the court, they still don't have as many judges would be needed to overturn Roe. They need one more. And I dare say before the end of this year, there will be another vacancy on the court. And this case will be percolating up the line to hit the court maybe in a year or so. So that's what these governors are doing. They're setting up a challenge. But it does seem pretty extreme. They don't have a rape and incest exception in there. It's just strictly life of the mother. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Something exists in the world that Pat Robertson believes is too extreme. And it's about Christianity, too. So, just to make it clear. First, he's going to have his God Brigade pray for another Supreme Court justice to die. And second, something exists in the world, in the Christian world, that is too extreme for Pat Robertson. When I heard that last night, I think it's via crooksandliars.com, I just went... Did they switch his brand of crazy pills? What is going on? Oh my God. Ugh. And you can find the God Brigade. Excuse me. Find the God Brigade and their prayer mission to pray for the deaths or the illnesses or what have you of Supreme Court justices on the CBN.com website, the Christian Broadcasting Network. Let's see. 700 Club. We'll find it for you. Just because there's such... Oh, there's such really weird stuff in this. Operation Supreme Court Freedom. You click on the 700 Club and then it's in the side. Little link. And it's Operation Supreme Court Freedom. This is what it says. And it's kind of old. Because Sandra, with the picture which they have, it's still Sandra Day O'Connor and Chief Justice William Rehnquist. So it was before they started to drop like flies. President Bush's selection of John G. Roberts Jr. to replace Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, see, it's old, has unleashed a firestorm of debate as both sides of the political spectrum prepare for a battle that could determine the course of our nation for decades to come. Add to this news the very real possibility of another court vacancies, or of additional court vacancies in the near future, and it's clear to see that we are on the verge of an historic breakthrough on the Supreme Court! Exclamation point. Instead of an out of control judiciary threatening our democracy, because that apparently is what the Supreme Court is, we could soon see a conservative majority on the court that would protect the moral fabric of our nation and the freedoms we cherish. But there's a rough road ahead! Exclamation point. Character assassins on the left, damn me, are preparing a war room. They are determined to destroy reputations and delay hearings. They did it to Clarence Thomas, and these forces are still at work today. Okay, they did it to Clarence Thomas because he put a pubic hair on a Coke can. You know. It's not like they made that up. And it is easy to see why. The Supreme Court is the last bastion of liberal power. The last one, apparently. It's over after that. For over 40 years, a.k.a. since Roe versus Wade, black-robed tyrants have pushed a radical agenda in America with devastating results. Consider the damage inflicted since 1962. They banished prayer in the Bible from our public schools. They raised a right of privacy banner, under which 43 million babies have been aborted. They overthrew sodomy laws, the ones in Texas, opening the door to same-sex marriage. They called for the removal of the Ten Commandments from courthouses across the nation. It is ridiculous. And here's his call for prayer. Tens of thousands of people responded to this massive prayer offensive and cried out to the Lord to change the court. And God heard those prayers. And the prayer points, because, you know, usually politicians hand out talking points. No, Pat Robertson and the 700 Club, they hand out prayer points. Pray that the person God desires would be appointed to the Supreme Court. Oh, that the person God desires would be appointed to the Supreme Court. Pray that the president would have courage and rely on God's wisdom in nominating new Supreme Court justices. Not at all on facts, but just on faith, which everyone knows is completely secure. It's always right. Just ask the people who went on Hale Bop, who put on the purple diamond robes or sheets over them and wore Nikes to get onto the comet that was passing Earth. Yeah, just ask them. Faith is always correct. Doesn't matter in what, just faith. Pray that the justices of the Supreme Court would rule according to the Constitution as written and not man's opinion. Yes, like going back to saying that a black man is only worth 3/5 of a white man. And that women can't vote. Because that's in the Constitution, too. Don't forget that. Be consistent. Pray that those who oppose biblical truth would retire from the Supreme Court and be replaced by those who honor God's law. Pray that truth would reign supreme during the Senate confirmation hearings. Pray, see, this one's like just fairly direct. Pray that Roe versus Wade be overturned. Pray the biblical prayer, quote, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amos 5:24 in the United States of America. Justice rolling down like waters and righteousness. Again, I never thought righteousness was a good thing, but I guess that's self-righteousness. And the difference? I don't really know. All right. I'm going to play a little sing-along song so everybody you at home can sing along. And then we'll briefly cover the article about the Alabama fires. And apparently those 9 or 10 fires were just a joke that got out of hand. Oh, of course. It makes complete sense. Music.
Pearly shell,
from the ocean,
shining in the sun,
covering the shore,
when I see there,
my heart tells me that I love you. More than all the little pearly shells. For every grain of sand upon the beach, I've got a kiss for you. And I've got more left over for each star that twinkles in the blue. Pearly shell,
pearly shell,
from the ocean,
from
shining in the sun,
shining in the sun,
covering the shore,
covering the shore.
When I see them,
when I see them,
my heart tells me that I love you more than all the little pearly shells.
Pearly shell,
from the ocean,
shining in the sun, covering the shore,
when
I see them,
my heart tells me that I love you more than all the little pearly shells. More than all the little pearly shells. More than all the little pearly shells.
Ah, pearly shells. All right, and in the same theme of Hawaii music, Don Ho. A cover that never should have happened.
Fox ran on a rat.
That was Don Ho with a cover of Shock the Monkey. It's on the album When Pigs Fly. Songs you never thought you'd hear. I would add, and that never should have happened in the first place. But I like it. It goes along with my... what are the other crazy songs that I have people covering? Purchased. What else do I have? This is experimental radio. Me going through my purchased playlist. Where'd it go? I have Pat Boone singing Stairway to Heaven. I'll give you a little sample. Oh, wait, that's Don Ho again. This is from In a Metal Mood, No More Mr. Nice Guy. Get to singing.
Sure, all that glitter.
Ah, there you go.
Gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven.
Fantastic.
When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed with a word.
Oh,
she
God.
Can get
okay, and then I had this. By the Connells. That's right.
Put the white on the flam for your temper. Just toss
this
that
actually
ham
pretty
in frying pan like spam. And done when I come and slam. Then I feel like the son of Sam.
It's don't still weird. It's still awfully weird. I don't know. It is 6:45. Look at that. Again, thank you for listening. This is In the Loop, broadcasting from freeradiosaic.org and podcasting at kbarrick.podomatic.com. Speaking of podcasts, I have another podcast that, oh yeah, with the whole like church bombing thing or church fire things, that was basically the punchline, was that it was like a joke that got out of hand. They're college students and it's a joke and it got out of hand. And then they set 5 more fires to try to detract from from the first 4 or something. Yeah, that is a good idea. That sure sounds like a joke that went too far. I can give plenty of examples of of other jokes that have gone too far that don't include burning down a church. Ugh. But yeah, so the other podcast, I'll get to that in a second. See, for the past few weeks now, I've been in, as I said in the beginning of the show, a complete non-working mode. First, I blamed it on cabin fever. It was cold, and so I was inside a lot, and maybe that was it. Then, now, in the past few days, and at least for the next week, it's going to be warm. So I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be spring fever then. So either way, I have fever. I have a fever. I have somehow contracted a fever. And that's the song I'm playing in the background. Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. That's right, whether it be cabin of the cabin variety or of the spring variety, I have a fever. And it's in this lazy and relaxed, but relaxed in a panicky way, retarded attitude. And I think it comes from something that I've realized, and that sounds kind of stupid, but, you know, what else am I gonna do on experimental radio? Still waiting to know what experimental radio is. Learning hurts. It sounds so whiny, but it's true. Learning stretches the mind. It bends and tweaks your very definition of reality, and more importantly, the very definition of who you think you are. It redefines you constantly. You learn something new, or you learn that you can't do something, and it can completely throw your identity into upheaval. Or just, I've spent so many times just going like, I don't know what's going on anymore. And so learning something new scares me also, because I've been through that a lot of times, and I'm such in desperate need to find who I am. Like, I think a lot of people, maybe not desperate, but I think they're in some ways trying to find out who they are, since that could be called the meaning of life. Having this definition of who you are being constantly changed, that's painful. And it's painful like exercise. It's painful and it stretches your brain like you're doing yoga. It's supposed to hurt. It hurts to have your opinions proved wrong or your assumptions proved wrong. It hurts to admit that you're not completely capable of something, in something that you've perhaps had a lot of pride in the past. But like yoga and like other exercises, if it hurts, it means it's working. You're learning, you're growing, you're changing. And see, maybe all of this stretching that my brain has been doing by learning in the past few weeks has caused this fever. Maybe I contracted it from the stretching and from the overexertion of my brain, which is so completely lazy and probably not true at all. But learning hurts and my brain doesn't want it anymore. It has said no. You will play golf. You will play electronic golf even. That's even lazier. You will be listening to the Marc Maron show out of LA. And that will be the only thing which sparks any interest in you. Ugh. And see, something else which has sparked interest in me has obviously been podcasting. Since it is a kind of radio that anyone can do, thanks to wonderful sites like Podomatic.com. But through the past 6 or 7 or 8 months that I've been putting this radio show together and then trying to podcast it, I also started a podcast about the show 24. I'm a big fan. If you could see my computer, it's got a picture of Kiefer Sutherland in the background. I'm a big fan of 24. I like it. It's aggressive and manly and constant adrenaline and fast paced, but I love it. And if there's anything that I know it, and that I'm sure that I know, it is pop culture. And I've tried so hard to get away from pop culture and to learn more about politics and to learn more about current events and to be able to talk about them. And this 24 podcast has been successful, which is fantastic, but it's also like a confirmation of, yes, content does matter, and you can't do political content, at least just yet. You can't. But you can talk about 24, and you can make over-emotional speeches about how much you hate that stupid curtain shirt that they made Martha Logan wear for the last 3 episodes. I can go on about that, but politics? No, that's going to be difficult for me. That's going to be challenging. And as you heard before, I'm not really up to a challenge right now. And it's just kind of sad because what do people need more? Talk about a television show or discussion of current events, politics, issues, knowledge, etc. Oh, 24, definitely. No, I mean, it's just sort of upsetting and disturbing and discouraging for me that I've had such a hard time with this show and with getting support, which is not to say that I haven't gotten support. It's only my little needy brain saying you haven't gotten the right kind of support. Or I guess my judgmental needy brain saying you haven't gotten the right kind of support. And it's not because I haven't advertised, because I have. But it's also because radio is not appointment radio. Appointment radio has become podcasting. And with a station that broadcasts 26 or 28 hours out of the entire week, you're going to have your niche, but besides that, no. And like, there wasn't a show on before me tonight, and there's not a show on after me tonight. So I don't even have like the whole, you know, Friends effect, and that they would put a really crappy show. Not saying that my show is crappy, but of course it could be a hell of a lot better. They put a crappy new show after Friends to see if it could become a success. and occasionally it would. And then when they moved it to a different day, all of the viewers would go away because they'd realize, oh, I have to choose to listen or to watch this on a different night. Yeah, I don't like it that much. And so in short, I don't really like the way that this radio station, FreeRadioSCIC.org, is structured, because it doesn't, it doesn't do what a radio station should be doing. Even if it's not trying to be, you know, a regular radio station, if experimental is, you know, like variable start times, the ability to say fuck and shit and ass and to not have to pay as many royalties to record labels, and to, you know, come up with a different gimmick of playing music, then yeah, then that's experimental. But, and I was talking to my friend Zach about this up in Madison, where I'm going this weekend for a Ben Folds concert. Woohoo! and I had posted something on my blog about this, like my frustration and how, like, no one's showing me how to do this. And it's not about having a catchy phrase. It's not about a catchphrase, because that was the advice that I got from someone when I asked for advice, was to get a catchphrase. I don't think a catchphrase is going to exactly bring in the listeners. And advertising itself, just period, does not guarantee you to bring in listeners. So I was talking to Zach and I was complaining a little bit, completely out of frustration, about how a lot of the shows on Free Radio SAIC are about, you know, are just different variations of music. It's, you know, a different gimmick. And some of the gimmicks are really good. And I'm not saying my show is good or great. It, you know, mediocre. Definitely falls in the mediocre pile. But what's experimental about having a gimmick for an hour of music? That's a format that only NPR stations still do. Pretty much. I mean, like, here's an hour of blues. Here's an hour of jazz. It's just coming up with a different gimmick. And you gotta have a gimmick. As I know that song from Gypsy, as the strippers go around. You gotta have a gimmick. But is that experimental? And yes, there are other interview and talk shows, and then some other shows featuring live performances, which I think is fantastic. But what is it? I don't get what experimental radio is supposed to be. And Zach compared it to putting out cover songs versus no one putting out any original songs. He said that I was, but I disagree because I ride the fine line between humility and low self-esteem. I ride it. Trust me. I don't know, but it's very frustrating. And it's 6:59. I've got to get out of here, because I'm going to try to stick to my timelines. It just clicked over to 7. Okay. So I'm going to leave you with a fantastic song by Elvis Costello off of the fantastic live album, My Flame Burns Blue, live with the Metropole Orchestra. It is a foreign orchestra. It's a fantastic album. Go and get it. Download it off of iTunes. Even the cover art is amazing. Again, you've been listening, most likely through podcasting, to freeradiosasc.org, and I thank you so much for it. I am Kristen Barrick. This has been In the Loop, and I will see you, hopefully, or you'll see me next week from 6 till 7 Central Time on this internet radio station. And maybe we'll continue our little vacation because, you know, I like wearing flowers in my hair and having a sippy cup in the studio. It's completely closed off. Like, I can't, it's definitely a sippy cup for retarded people like me. All right, wrapping this up. Elvis Costello. Elvis, I love you.
Girl's not one with a deep fake cellophane shrink wrap so correct. The red dog's under illegal acts. She looks so good that he gets down and bags. She is watching the detectives. Oh, he's so cute. She is watching the detectives. Oh, when they shoot, 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 they beat him up and do a teardrop start. But again, the wounded winner's got no heart. Winner's got no heart. Shot of that jumping sign. The invisible shivers running down my spine. The captain, baby, taking off the clothes. Cause of the sign that says we never close. You snatch at you and you match your cigarette. She pulls the eyes out with a face like a magnet. I don't know how much more of this I can take. She's filing her nails while they're dragging the lake. She is watching the detectives. Oh, he's so cute. She is watching the detectives. Oh, and they shoot, 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 shoot. They need an opportunity to drop a star. But he can't be wounded when he's got no heart. When he's got no heart. You're in it now. You sit a stay love and see if I am music. They call it instant justice when it's past the legal limit. Someone scratching at the window. I wonder who is it? The detectives come to check if you belong to the parents. Why, ready to hear the worst about the daughter's disappearance. Though it nearly took a miracle to get you to stay. Only took my little fingers to blow you away. Just like watching the detectives. Oh, don't get cute. Just like watching the detectives. But he can't be wounded when he's got no heart. When he's got no heart.
just like watching the detective.